The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, today we're going to pick up where I left off with our message. We have been talking about atonement. And atonement means several things. Atonement is reconciliation, reconciled to God. Atonement is also favor. And when you receive atonement, you receive the favor of God. So we looked at three times last week that we need atonement. We need it when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, that we have atonement through His blood from the wrath of God, which is coming upon the earth. And eventually God is going to judge all mankind, and He's going to judge whether people have accepted Christ as their Savior or rejected Christ as their Savior. And then we will experience, those who have rejected will experience the wrath of God. Also, backslider. You hear Joy mention the backsliding. Well, that is a principle in the Bible in regards to people sliding back into old lifestyles. And what happens is that many times people, rather than stay true and stay on the right course that God has laid for them, they slide back into living like they used to live. And God is always there. He's always waiting. His desire is to rescue us and bring us back. But that's another time that we need atonement. We need reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. We need to get back in His favor. And then sometimes we just get complacent. And, you know, I know there's nobody out here that I'm talking to this morning has ever become complacent or lukewarm in their faith. But I can guarantee you that no matter what, even when we get complacent with the Lord or lukewarm, God is still dealing with us and trying to get us back into that place, that relationship where we have that hot passion for our Father and for our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are three times that we need atonement or need to get back into the favor of God. Psalms 5:12 says this, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him with a shield." That's an awesome image that God surrounds us with His shield and keeps us and causes us to have His favor. But He says there it's the righteous, and there's a righteous living and an unrighteous way of living. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God," beginning with verse 8, "but God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." And that word reconciliation can also be translated atonement or favor of God. We have come back into the favor of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, having the favor of God doesn't necessarily mean we're walking in the favor of God. We have to recognize that sometimes people walk outside of the favor of God. The only way to walk in the favor of God is to apply His word to your life each and every day, every moment of your life. That is walking in the favor of God. And that opens the door for God's favor to be poured out upon us, His blessings to flow into our life. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. And all these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What does it take to see the blessings of God come up on you? Obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's in that scripture, in that that chapter. It goes on to say, it's the scripture, it's the chapter where he says, you shall be blessed in the country and blessed in the city. Blessed in your kneading bowls, blessed in your baskets. Blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And he just tells them the kind of thing, the blessings that will chase them down and overtake them. All they have to do is be obedient. And God sends the blessings. But in that same chapter, he goes on to say, these things, these curses will come up on you if you refuse to obey the word of God. And the curses are just the opposite of what he said the blessings would be. So it's very important that we recognize that we want to walk in the blessings of God. And walking in the blessings of God means that we obey the voice of our Lord. Jesus said in the New Testament, he made it very clear, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything, all these things will be added to you. He was talking about all the things that the world chases after, all the blessings that they want. God has promised that he'll take care of his own if we spend time seeking his kingdom, chasing after his kingdom. James chapter 1, verse 25 reinforces this. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I don't know where in the world we ever got the idea that you could just accept Jesus and go on with whatever lifestyle you wanted to live and you would walk under the blessings of God. That is not biblical teaching. Biblical teaching is very clear. You must obey the voice of the Lord your God. And when you obey, blessings flow in your life. Does that mean that you're going to have a cushy life? Absolutely not. Let's make that perfectly clear. There is an enemy of our soul, and he will try to do everything he can to destroy you. And guess what? Aside from the enemy, life happens. We live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, negative things happen. There's negative all around us. Negative, difficult situations occur in our life. But what that means is if you are obeying the voice of the Lord, even though you encounter those difficult times, those difficult situations, God is with you, God is for you, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Amen. But favor does not mean it's going to be easy. Noah had the favor of God, and he had to spend 40 days locked up in a ship, with stinky animals. Amen? Abraham had the favor of God, and he had to abandon his home and go to a place that he had no idea where it was. Joseph had the favor of God, and he was sold into slavery. And many things happened to him. Moses had the favor of God. And he had to leave the cushy life in the palace to go into the wilderness, to flee into the wilderness, to find out God's will for his life. David, who had the favor of God and was promised that he would be king of all of Israel, had to run and hide in the wilderness. And yet, God's favor was upon him, and he eventually accomplished what he promised David he would accomplish. Nehemiah, Ezra, Zerubbabel, all these had enemies who wanted to kill them, and yet they accomplished mighty things for the kingdom of God. They had the favor of God on their life. The apostles had the favor of God. They preached the gospel everywhere they went. There was favor. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. They did mighty miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of them, except one that we know of, at least according to legend, they all were martyred for the kingdom of God. You see, the favor of God doesn't always look the way we think it should. But the favor of God will always, always accomplish the will of God in your life. There's no doubt about it. Favor. Let's think about this thing, this favor thing, because it's so important. Sometimes we have to give up things that we think are our favorite. They become favorite to us. And God's saying, I want you to get that favorite thing out of your life. I read a story about a soldier, supposedly a true story. A soldier was overseas, and while he was there, his girlfriend wrote him a Dear John letter. And to make matters worse, to add insult to injury, she said, you know that photograph I gave you, the one that was your favorite? She said, will you please send that back to me because I need it for my picture in the local newspaper for my engagement. Poor guy was devastated. But his friends, his buddies all gathered around him. And they went around and they gathered up all the pictures of the girlfriends of the guys that they had in the camp. And they had hundreds of pictures. And they put them in an envelope and the guy signed it and he sent it off. He put a little note in there. And when she opened it up, it said, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember which one you were, but please take the one. Please take your photograph. Send the rest back to me. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Favorites. Sometimes we have favorite things that we just have to give up. I've had things in my life that I thought were so wonderful, so important to me, and God said, nah, you don't want that. That interferes with your relationship with me. Our favorites are not God's favorites. But when we get in a place where we're willing to hear the voice of God and recognize that what He believes is the favorite thing that we need to have is much more important than our favorite thing, then we begin to walk into true blessings and the favor of God. So we're going to talk just a little bit more about this morning. We're going to look at Luke chapter 15. I'm going to have you turn there. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to break it down and go through it a little bit. Luke chapter 15, if you have your Bible, your iPad, phone, whatever it is you're using. That's your Bible. Amen. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. All right, we'll stop right there. Let's focus here for a moment on verse 15 or verse 16 and 17. Because it says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I think the first step when it comes to either finding the favor of God and salvation, or repenting from a situation where we've fallen back, or even when we're lukewarm, the first step that we have to, that we must come to, and that is realize that we need to come to our senses. That's number one. We have to come to our senses. Nobody can make you come to your senses. You have to come to your senses. People can talk to you. They can give you good advice. They can direct you. But until you come to your own senses, nothing can be done. I remember so many times in my life that I've been given good advice by godly people, and I rejected that advice until I came to my senses. And usually it was because I had to suffer the consequences of my actions. One of the things that we must realize is that we are going to suffer the consequences of our actions. I know that we have set up a society where we've tried to eliminate any consequences of actions. Everybody is supposed to be treated equal no matter how you act, but the ridiculousness of that is destroying our nation. What I do know is that we all will suffer consequences, whether it's corporately or individually. We're going to suffer consequences for our actions. And our actions are always dependent on us, you know, the right actions are always dependent on us coming to our senses. We must first come to our senses in order to recognize that, you know, God has a plan for your life. And no matter where you are in this walk, you have to come to your senses, first of all, and say, God, speak to me. I know that I've done wrong. I know that I'm in the wrong place. This guy had come to the place in his life where he was on top of the world, and now he was at the bottom. He was feeding hogs, slopping the hogs. And he was so hungry that he wanted to eat the hog slop. And he finally came to the place where he realized he came to his senses. He got back to some common sense. How many know that common sense is not very common these days? You look around in our world, it is craziness that seems to be going on. And I think, man, that just doesn't make any sense. I know. It's just there's no common sense being applied to things these days. Psalms chapter 119, verse 58, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commands. You see, if we really want to have some common sense, we're going to find that sense in the word of God. We have to get back to that. Recognizing that the real truth is in the Word of God. Stop taking the world's perspective on things and recognize that God has a totally different perspective on things. When NASA first started sending men to the astronauts into space, they quickly discovered that ballpoint pens would not work in zero gravity. So to combat that, NASA came up with a great plan. They would spend $12 billion to develop a pen that would write in zero gravity. The pen also would write upside down, underwater, on most any surfaces, including glass. And it would write in temperatures ranging from below zero to 500 Fahrenheit. I don't know who's going to be in 500 Fahrenheit writing, but that was the temperature range. An incredible pen for $12 billion. The Russians had a much simpler solution. They chose to use a pencil. Isn't that crazy? They had a pencil all the time. But they had to spend $12 billion to be able to write with a pen in space. We have come to the place where we sometimes were so affluent that we will spend billions of dollars to do something that is really very simple and could take common sense to figure it out. Common sense has not been followed much in this world these days. But I believe when we find wisdom based on the Word of God, that there is such a thing as common sense that comes back into a person's life. You can begin to see things from a much more clear perspective. Recently, there was an article that was posted. I don't know if this is real or not, but supposedly it took place. After having dug to a depth of 10 feet last year, British scientists found traces of copper wire dating back 200 years. And they came to the conclusion that their ancestors already had a telephone network more than 150 years before the telephone was invented. At least we thought so. Not to be outdone by the British, the United States, the American archaeologists dug to a depth of 20 feet. And shortly after, a story was published in the New York Times. American archaeologists found 250-year-old copper wire, and they concluded that their ancestors already had advanced high-tech communications between 100 years before the British. Just all competing with one another. 1 week later, the State Department in Australia reported the following. After digging as a depth of 30 feet in Western Australia, Jack Lugnow, a self-taught archaeologist, reported that he found absolutely nothing. Jack, therefore, has come to the conclusion that Australia had, over 250 years ago, had already gone wireless. Where is our common sense? We can conclude anything that we want to, but the evidence doesn't prove what we conclude most of the time. Most people these days will take the Bible and take a few scriptures out of it and decide live their life based on just a few scripture. And when you do that, you can come to almost any kind of conclusion. You can live your life any way you want. But when you take this whole Bible and you begin to read it and you understand God's principles, you begin to walk according to His Word in His truth, and the blessings of God will chase you down. Thank you, sir. Sorry about that. Okay, the second thing I want to share with you is be sincerely sorry. Luke 15, 18 through 18 and 19. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Listen, this guy had a relationship with the father, and he left the father. He went out to live his own life. I know what that's like, to go out and live according to your own lifestyle and your own principles. It's not a good life. And it brings you to a place just like this guy, this prodigal son, where he was destitute and he was crying out for help. But he came to his senses and he realized that he became truly sorry, or what the Bible refers to as repentance, truly repenting. Proverbs 3, chapter 1 through 4 says, My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find what? Favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You see, Word of God when we apply it to our life, it not only causes us to have favor with God, but also with man. Because man is looking for people of integrity and honesty, people that they can trust in. In your workplace, I can guarantee, I don't care what kind of a scoundrel your boss is, he wants you to be a person of integrity and honesty. He wants you, he or she. Because the world's looking for people that they can trust in. And they need someone that they can lean on. So you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. We're talking about being sincerely sorry for your lifestyle and your sin. And if you've left God and you need to come back to Him, that's one of the steps. First of all, you got to come to your senses. You got to know, hey, wow, I need to get back to where I used to be. I need that relationship with the Lord like I used to have. So I'm going back. I'm going to go back to this thing. And then I'm going to repent. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to repent of leaving my relationship. And setting it, God has never moved. He has never left you or forsaken you. He's always been there and He's always chased after you. And He'll chase you down. Amen for that. But you have to come to your senses and you have to repent. It's true in every situation. God is so good that He makes that play. He makes a way for us, no matter how far we stray, allowing us to be able to come back. As a young man, I strayed from the principles that my parents taught me in my relationship with the Lord. I left everything that they had taught me behind to pursue my own way. And it brought me to the same place it brought this guy to, wallowing with the swine. I didn't even realize I was wallowing with the swine. I didn't know that I wanted to eat the swine's food. I had no idea how deplorable I really was. But the Lord was chasing after me, and He started dealing with me. And He caused me to begin to look into His Word. And Tammy and I would lay in bed at night and read the Word of God, and I'd cry. This was before we actually went and made a commitment, but God was already dealing with my heart. And because I saw the truth, and I'd come to the realization, I had come to my senses, and I'd realized that I need to repent. And thank God for that throne of grace that we have, the blood of Jesus Christ, that I could kneel down before the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim Him as Lord and Savior of my life. Some years ago, a young boy went to a Billy Graham crusade. And during that crusade, he went forward and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Began to serve the Lord. But as time went on, this young man was 12 years old. And as time went on, he began to stray. He got involved with karate, and he became very proficient at karate, very good. He actually became the world middleweight champion 8 years in a row. He went on to make movies. He even had a TV program of his own. One day he walked into the house and his wife was sitting on the couch reading her Bible. And he said to her, "You're not getting religious on me, are you?" And she said, "This is really good stuff. You need to sit down and read it with me." So he did. And he began to read his Bible once again. And the Lord began to deal with his heart. And not long after that, Chuck Norris made a complete commitment to Jesus Christ. And he serves Him today, serving Him. And he's serving Him in fantastic ways. He has all kinds of programs that he has started. And he's preaching and teaching the Word of God. He came back to his first love. We all can do that. But you got to, first of all, you've got to see these principles. You got to come to your senses. You have to repent. And the last thing that we're going to share, I'm going to share with you this morning. Won't take long. We're about done. Just ask the Father for forgiveness. He's standing there waiting. He's waiting for you. Listen to what happened. And the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. He hadn't forgotten his son. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Make him know that he's still my son. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and there and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Hallelujah. He wanted to celebrate because his son had come back. His son came back and he said, Father, I've sinned. But the father said, it's okay, son. I see your repentance. I see you love me. Come back into the fold. Here I am. I'm waiting on you. And we're going to party because you came back. I think it's an awesome story when you read about it, because it doesn't matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. He's always there with his arms stretched out waiting for us to come and embrace him. He wants to embrace us. All we have to do is embrace him. You know, John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus stands in the gap for us. Are we sinners? Will we continue to sin in our life? We most likely will continue to sin. No one's perfect. We make mistakes, but we are not, we are supposed to be free from practicing sin or continuing to do ongoing sins in our life. Yes, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to do things that are wrong. But we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we cry out to him, those sins are forgiven and wiped away. That's all we have to do. Cry out to our Lord. You know, it says here that they killed the fatted calf. I think that's really important because that's one of the things on the great day of atonement they did. They killed the bull and they took the blood and it was for the remission of sins. They killed the fatted calf. The father said, the blood is sufficient. The father is telling us the blood of Jesus is sufficient. They killed the fatted calf. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. There's a wonderful story I want to wrap up this morning with. It's about a cardinal in the Philippines. His name, oddly enough, was Cardinal Sin. And when Cardinal Sin was a bishop, a young lady in his parish was having visions of Jesus. And he was given the task to find out whether these visions were real or not. So she kept having these visions of Jesus, and she would share them with him. And so the vision, the bishop agreed that he would try to find out from the young lady. So he said to her, the next time that you see Jesus, would you ask him something? Would you ask him about the secret sin that I have? And she said, certainly, I will, because he knew that no one else knew about the sin. If she was having a vision of Jesus, certainly he would tell her of his secret sin. Months went by, and then finally the young lady came back and said, I had another vision of Jesus. And he said, good. Did you ask him about my secret sin? She said, yes. And what did he say? He said, I forgot. What a great story. You may think you have a secret sin that was past and that you've asked forgiveness for. God has forgotten. It's cast away. As far as the east is from the west, it's cast in the sea. It'll never be forgotten, never be brought up again. When we cry out to the Father, that's what happens to our sin. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.